Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
We may not be the Green Bay Packers. Oh, Pharrell. I jumped on Pharrell again. Should let him sing a little bit. It's a bad habit.
He's happy.
Anyway, he's happy. We're happy. Brian Beattie was on at 3 o'clock. He was really happy, by the way. And you're on Facebook Live. Brian's on Facebook Live. Check out his podcast. It was very funny. I'm kind of in the mood for a little. If you feel like you're a little down, I've had a little disheveled feeling of late, having had a tenant who just skipped out, you know, skipped out on rent and just took all his stuff, my daughter's room. Anyway, and so that happened, and then some mistakes on the newspapers. So I'm sober right now, but I could go to a bottle of scotch at any moment. I remember one time I got this book, somebody recommended, it's kind of a funny book, for people who are single and who are divorced or whatever and have no life and no girlfriend and no whatever. And the first page was, clean out your car. You got to have a clean car. So why don't we roll on some music from Rocky? I'll see if I can get in the mood. Going the distance here. Is it going the distance? All right, here we go. Bill Conti. If you have no life, if you find yourself with a couch and cable, you're eating frozen pizzas at midnight, or you actually call to get the pizza delivered right before they close and force them to stay longer than they otherwise would. If you have an ex-wife or an ex-husband, but you're still that way 25 years later, maybe it's time to maybe shake something up. Otherwise, you just sit there and you watch Columbo episodes. You found the network that carries Columbo, 40-year-old detective show with Peter Falk. Then you find out, you didn't know this, but 8 years later, 11 years later, they redid Columbo on ABC. But you didn't notice that because it was during the marriage, and the marriage wasn't very good. So now at 55, you watch new Columbos. It's really a thrill. I didn't see this Columbo. Now I can see a new Columbo. The sad part is the second phase was from 89 to 93. So it's been off the air for 24 years. These are signs. Maybe you need something new in your life. Maybe you can't date anybody under 80. Who knows when you do finally get a date? I would say that when you're feeling depressed, frozen pizza is not the answer. There's always a chance. Look at the Badgers. They're undefeated. Look at the Packers. They beat the Cowboys. The NBA played 3 exhibition games. The U.S. soccer team got beat, but who cares about soccer? There's still a chance. There's always tomorrow. Turn off the TV. Shoot the TV with a gun. Go outside, start walking, talk to people. Even people with little things in their earbuds and they don't see you. You can still smile and talk to them. There's got to be a way out of this rut, out of this hole that we find ourselves in. You can always get ESPN and watch a documentary about the 1983 NC State Wolfpack and Jimmy Romano. That could work. Try anything. The Cubs. The Cubs might. Now, I know you hate the Cubs. You're Brewer fans. I, of course, am from Indiana. The Brewers didn't exist till I was 9. By then, I was already psychologically deranged as a Cub fan, having seen them lose the first 7 games I ever saw. I'm still messed up about that. But you can still make a comeback. Let's do it together.
Going the distance.
Going the distance, folks. So there good you have stuff. It. I love that. So, you know, I loved, there was a movie way back in like the mid-80s with Jack Lemmon. Now, Bill Conti wrote the score to Rocky. And there was a movie called Mass Appeal. In like 85, Jack Lemmon played this really popular priest in California. If you've seen the movie, folks, you see Mass Appeal. I love that movie. I think I had it on VHS. That's gone now. I'm going to order it again. Jack Lemmon plays this popular priest, and he runs into the seminarian. He's going to get kicked out of the seminary because Charles Durning is this sort of hard-ass Monsignor, and he hears rumors that maybe the seminarian's got a checkered past sexually. Huh. And he was sticking up for these two guys that got kicked out because they were together. And, you know, Monsignor Burke doesn't want that kind of thing to go on in the seminary. So, but in the course of it, Jack Lemmon says, I'll take the kid on. He's, you know, he's brash. He says things that offend people. But eventually, Jack Lemmon realizes he's a better priest than he is. All he does is go to the races and drink wine and say nice things to people. And he says to the kid, when you talk to the Monsignor, because the kid had had an experimental past sexually. And so he told the kid, when you talk to Monsignor Burke, lie, because you're a lunatic and the church needs lunatics. Somebody like you comes around and keeps the church alive, but you don't know how to survive, and I do. So in the end, of course, the kid tells the truth. He can't lie, and he gets kicked out, and then Jack Lemmon tries to save him by going to his parishioners and saying, I think we should fight for the kid, even though I may get transferred to Iowa tomorrow, you know. But he finally finds the spine to stick up for the kid. After he first couldn't do it the first Mass, and then he got shamed. You got to see the movie. But Bill Conti did the score for that movie. I saw it in the credits. Huh. Bill Conti, the guy that did Rocky. Nobody cares about this stuff. Harvey Weinstein, we got to talk about it. You know, we have this sexual predator, prowler, big Hollywood mogul, who would gross anybody out, man or woman. And, you know, a little overweight, beard. You know, he looks like a pirate. He looks like a pirate, doesn't he, Mike? Mike, yeah. Rockefeller Engineer. You'd see him in some old movie with Charles Laughton. And he's hitting on these women. Now he's been accused of raping three women. He's harassed people like Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow. And he would, like, tell them to come to his hotel room or his suite, and he would get a, I want to get a massage, or he would take care of business in front of them. And I'm just, you know, sickening stuff. And it took, in the late night comics, I haven't talked about it at all. Huh. And President Obama finally came out and said something, and Hillary Clinton, I'm appalled. I'm appalled. Well, she's damned if she does, damned if she doesn't. I mean, right. And, of course, there are pictures of Harvey with Bill yucking it up, right. You know, all kinds of photos. Yeah, of course. But here's audio. I want to play this audio. There was a Sting audio tape of New York cops, and Harvey was caught on tape. He was hitting on this actress. You try to get this actress to go to his hotel room and something about a massage or something. And hear this. And she was nervous and didn't want to do it. And here's Harvey Weinstein, this, you know, multimillionaire Hollywood mogul, Democrat, liberal donor, with this poor actress. And it's on the Sting tape. But the New York cops or the DA couldn't find enough evidence to do anything. But let's listen to this. Kind of creepy.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
Don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No, you must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you.
I know
you're embarrassing me.
I'm sorry. I do not. No, yesterday was kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person to be touched.
I won't do a thing.
I don't.
Please, I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I don't want to.
Please sit there, please. 1 minute.
No, I
ask
I can't.
You. Go to the bathroom.
Please, I don't want to do something I don't want
go
to.
Go to the bathroom. Come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. That's it. If you embarrass me in this hotel,
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
I mean, don't have a fight with me.
Please,
I'm not going to do anything. I swear, my children. Please come in.
I swear, my children. I'm not going to do anything.
Please come in now. And 1 minute. And if you want to leave when the guy comes with my jacket,
why yesterday you touched my brace?
Please, I'm sorry. Just
why did you touch my brace?
Are you used to that?
Yes.
Are you used to that? Oh my God!
I won't do it again. Sit here for a minute, please.
No, I don't want to.
I don't want to, of course not.
You will call me again. Okay, sorry. I promise you I won't do anything.
I promise you I won't do anything.
The guy is coming. I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship.
Harvey, what are you doing? Don't ruin your friendship with me.
Please, you're making
me. He's got to be in jail.
But I want to leave.
But I guess, you know, that's good, yeah. They didn't have enough. Of course, how do you prosecute on that, right? I mean, the DA. Well, he just said, come up to my room and watch me, whatever. I'm going to take a shower. Come up to my room. I promise I won't do anything. I mean, who wants to? I mean, to me, that's pretty sick stuff.
Well, try to turn it around on her too. Don't embarrass me in this
hotel. And I've heard this word used quite a bit. I know I'm a man, and men. It's hard for men to talk about this because the word is objectification, objectify, meaning the woman is an object.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was raised in a very liberal home, very strong mother, strong sister, strong aunts who always kind of told their husbands what to do and where to go and the whole thing. And my parents, God bless their souls, are gone now, but my dad would always try to hide, you know, from go to the top floor in the house. And my mother would say, Paul is disappearing act again. Where, Paul, Paul. And then you'd hear, what? You know, it was always the game for like 60 years. It was this way. But my God, if my dad tried to talk to her, like my mother would have had him like in a straitjacket, you know, she would have had him like gasping for air on the floor with her foot on his neck. This whole thing with men doing this, I didn't grow up in that kind of a home. I hear Harvey saying, well, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, you know, the whole, you couldn't do that in the 60s and 70s. And I know there was,
it happened,
but, you know, what was the word, mad men. Right, I knew the mad, right. And my ex-wife, and bless her heart, she was selling at a radio station in Shawano. This was, 25 years ago, right? 26 years ago. And these older salesmen at the Shawano radio station, granted it's northern Wisconsin, but they would say the most disgusting things to her. She would come to work looking good, professional, and they would say these sexually disgusting things to my wife. She would tell me about it. I mean, these guys are in their 60s. Mm-hmm. Boy, I'd sure like to blank, blank. I mean, just sick stuff. And my boy, you know, I would say, oh, shut up or whatever, you know, and she would deal with it. Right, but God, I mean, if you did that now, you'd be cited for harassment. You'd be fired at most places, right? But what, 60s and 70s, what the hell's that? You couldn't do that stuff. If you said that to my mom, she would have, like, kicked you in the groin, you know. I don't get it. But are we supposed to not care? Or is this... Are you going to take the view this is overblown? I'm showing a Facebook shot now. Ben Hobbins posted a shot of Harvey Weinstein between Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. Domino effect. Affleck admits to acting inappropriately towards actress Hillary Burton. Oh. The Harvey Weinstein sexual harassment scandal is slowly materializing into an avalanche, a pivotal moment that could lead to a mass uncovering of sexual assault. I mean, these are Hollywood progressives. I mean, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, why would you have to force yourself? Could you get a date? I mean, at least Charlie Sheen would just pay prostitutes. You know, no need for foreplay there. But I don't buy this. Now, again, I hear some talk. Because last week the story was the quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, what's our big quarterback's name there, the former Heisman Trophy winner, talking about how he was making fun of the woman reporter who asked him a question about routes. That's so funny when a female asking about routes. And, of course, he had to finally do a statement. People were outraged. He lost his sponsor. I hear some chatter about, oh, well, you know, he's not a pajama boy. He's just a man, and men do dumb things. Well, yeah, men do dumb things, but harassing and raping, I mean, come on. But the late-night comics, I'm sorry, it's true. I mean, the first several days of the Weinstein story, you had nothing on the late-night shows. Colbert, Kibble, Fallon, nothing, nothing. It's just incredible. But all I would say is I don't buy this that it was a 60s and 70s thing, being a gentleman, treating women with respect, not objectifying women. You know, I went to a strip club when I was like 21 because my friends went. But even then, I was kind of grossed out. I mean, you know what grossed me out was the other men. I was grossed out by the other men. I didn't want to sit in there with those other men. I mean, it's like sitting in front of somebody at a porn theater. Somebody's got a popcorn box. You don't know what's going to come out of that thing. Sorry about that image. We'll come back. We got the Trumpster. We're going to talk about this at 5:30 with a guest, but and the network coverage of the network stuff, but this whole thing with nuclear war, and then he's fighting back. Anytime there's a story that, you know, they quote a leaker who says Trump said in July that he wants to improve the nuclear arsenal of the U.S. by 10 times. So somebody leaks that. It shows up in an article or a report. It was NBC. And then Trump then is asked about it. And the way he tries to say it's fake, it's made up, and somebody should do something about that. He said somebody should do something, meaning what? Censor the press. Yeah. Good luck with that, Don. We'll come back. This is the Mitch Henk Show on MadisonTalks.com. Yes, the website, live, World Wide Web, live in Finland, or on Facebook Live. Be right back.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, will cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
The all-new Mitch Henk Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Henk Show.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Henk Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Henk Show.
All right, we're back. Mitch Henk Show on MadisonTalks.com. Again, we're live in Norway tonight, live in New Zealand, live in Zaire. It's just we don't have much of an audience in those places. We can't get the word out, but it could happen. We're also on Facebook Live, and I'm looking at the Donald J. Trump tweet, at Real Donald Trump, reacting to an NBC News report that he wanted at a July meeting, somebody at the meeting, which would be a high-ranking military official, leaking this, that Trump wanted a tenfold increase in the U.S. nuclear arsenal. Trump says in his tweet, pure fiction made up to demean, period. NBC equals CNN, exclamation point. So I want to cut to the audio, because when Trump is facing the reporters, he is asked about the latest headlines. And here he is again. Here's Trump handling this. He says something like, somebody should look into that. He said, let's hear this.
Do you want to increase the nuclear arsenal?
No, I never discussed increasing it. I want it in perfect shape. That was just fake news by NBC, which gives a lot of fake news lately. No, I never discussed. I think somebody said I want 10 times the nuclear weapons that we have right now. Right now we have so many nuclear weapons. I want them in perfect condition, perfect shape. That's the only thing I've ever discussed. General Mattis put out a statement, or is putting out a statement, saying that that was fake news, that it was just mentioned that way. And it's frankly disgusting the way the press is able to write whatever they want to write. And people should look into it. No, I want to have absolutely perfectly maintained, which we are in the process of doing, nuclear force. But when they said I want 10 times what we have right now, it's totally unnecessary, believe me, because I know what we have right now.
Yeah, believe me. Here's the thing. New York Times, I'm reading the story. President Trump threatened on Wednesday to use the federal government's power to license television airwaves to target NBC in response to a report by the network's news division that he contemplated a dramatic increase in the nation's nuclear arsenal. So Trump is, somebody should look into it, which tells me he wants to look into jerking NBC's license. Take away their license! The FCC, I suppose, could do that, right?
Could.
So Trump, though, he just talks out of his, you know what, I mean, you can see him in the meeting. Well, why don't we increase our arsenal? He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, who takes Trump seriously on anything he says? Does anybody do that? I mean, he's not from politics. He just runs his mouth. He runs his mouth every day, and he tweets every day. And if there's a story that embarrasses him like this, he'll just say it's fake news, made it up, fake news. And I just wonder if some of his minions, like Stephen Miller, his press person, you know, who's leaking this stuff, because they can't find the leakers. But somebody should look into that. Look into that. How can they just write or say or broadcast whatever they want? Now, which brings me to my second point. We'll get to this at 5:30 with the interview. With Newsbusters about the Trump stuff on the NFL, because there's this argument about who's winning this NFL thing. Did Trump win the NFL fight? Because Commissioner Roger Goodell has done a memo to the owners. We should make them stand. They should stand after they've lost money for several weeks and viewership. But there was an earlier thing with Trump on the White House lawn talking about how they should stand or they must stand. I'm going to play that now. Trump 2.
Well, I've spoken to other owners, and I really think it's coming together. I noticed last night, or I was told, I didn't see it, but I heard everybody stood for the national anthem, and that shows respect for our country, our flag, and for the national anthem. So, you know, I'm very happy. I heard that, and they should stand. You have to stand. It's our national anthem. You have to stand. I spoke to numerous team owners. I have many friends. I did speak to Jerry, yes. Okay, thank you.
You have to stand. Now, I understand the president feels strongly about this, but do you want the president or any other government official, high-ranking government official, telling private entities, NFL itself, or teams, that they must, their players must do something? I mean, this is not something the government should be dictating. We are not in a monarchy, are we? I know Trump is trying to push it, and he can push it all he wants and use the bully pulpit, but he's not commanding people to stand. He's the government. He's not a king. Now, this, by the way, is a workplace issue. There is no protection. The First Amendment does not protect you in the workplace. If you want to go on Facebook right now and slam your boss, go ahead. See how free speech is. Wait a minute. I thought I had free speech. I thought it was constitutionally protected, free speech. No, it's not. Speech has never, ever been free, ever. People die to protect the government, you from getting arrested by the government. You're not supposed to get arrested, although they did throw Gus Hall in jail back in the 50s, the communists, and they ruined the lives of Hollywood people during the Red Scare and all that, which is bad history for us. And you couldn't say certain things. Even Edward R. Murrow didn't defend Alger Hiss when he was called a traitor, when actually he was just convicted of perjury. You know, Edward R. Murrow didn't point that out on the air. There was so much anti-communist fervor and fear that even, people were afraid. I know they were. And that's bad. because you should be free to be a communist if you want. You can do it. Like Arthur Miller said, the House Un-American Activities Committee, late 40s, when somebody said, do you believe that so-and-so is a communist and he said this? And Arthur Miller said, he can say whatever he wants. I mean, he's free. But the government should not be able to get you for saying things, but your boss can. Now, but Mitch, wait a minute. They got a. That's right. They have a union. And apparently it's not in their union contract that they have to stand. I was reported today. I heard one report that it says they should stand. But they don't have to stand. And if it's not ironed out, the union could say, well, we have to collectively bargain. If you want to make a new rule, then we have to bargain for this. We have to have something in return, some other way to peacefully protest whatever social issues. This is not clear cut. Not like you're just working at Quick Trip, by the way, which I found out today is buying the PDQs. Do you know that? Quick Trip is buying the PDQs. Anyway, so maybe the union will fight this and say the owners can't just have a rule or the league can't have a rule that says you must stand. I frankly think it's bad PR for the players. All they're going to do is turn people off. All they've done is turn people off, except for the people that are in their activist group. Is that George? What is it? You don't want to call in the show? He just calls you? Oh, he's on the line. George, hello.
Hey, stranger.
What, are you hitting on me now, or what's going on there? I mean, you know, hey, stranger. It's good. Stranger, that is so... What? It's kind of cheesy, isn't it, George? I mean, two men.
I haven't been able to listen to you for a long time, it seems like, and I haven't talked to you for even longer. So that's what I was saying.
Were you on the lam, or what's going on there? Hiding from police?
No, I'm working.
Oh, you're working.
I'm working up in
selling.
Yeah, I'm always working.
Recruiting banks, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that. I got to see if your owner is loaded. We got to talk later. Yeah, I don't think she would.
There you go.
I think she's kind of frugal, so yeah. Anyway, so now you, of course, want them to stand because you're a John Wayne kind of guy and, you know, the Green
Beret. I'm an American.
You're an American,
let's
yeah.
Let's just say it. I'm an American. Yeah, I love the flag and what it represents.
No, I understand that, but you see the point here. If you can't just order them to, and if you try if you fire them, then maybe you can't because of the union contract. All you can do is not play them, which means you'll lose.
Yeah, bench them. Yep,
well,
let them sit.
In case of San Francisco, they have like 20 guys that were sitting. Right,
fine, I'd let them sit.
Yeah. Well, I think, don't you agree, though, that the commissioner was gutless because they didn't say a word and they said, we support the players. Now they've lost money. Now they're losing, you know, market share. And and so now they say, oh, I think we should stand. I mean, come on, isn't that...
Mitch?
Yeah?
You know me. I'm football all my life. Coached it, do it, started football clubs, boosters. I'm football. My son's a coach. I haven't watched a pro game for I don't remember the last time.
No, and that's your right, and I don't like to watch it either. But the commissioner and the owners initially were saying the players will stand for their right to protest peacefully, yada, yada. Now they lose money, and all of a sudden they want them to stand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, real genuine, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, no courage there, no principles there. You know, I mean, I just, the NFL has botched the whole thing. And also, the president, you could say that this wouldn't have happened had Trump not pushed it, because he was...
if he would have let it go, it was dying away, I think. But then when he said that, and all the Trump haters come out of their rocks under their little caves and start to attack him, and so, I mean, obviously it's going to be win-losing... And he's doing nothing but great stuff for this country. For a while, I was worried about him. My son and all these young guys, these 30-year-olds, love him to death.
Yeah.
But I was like, shut up with the tweeting. But, you know, the guy, he's not a politician, Mitch. He's a regular guy, like you and me.
Regular
guy.
He'll
say what he thinks. And, he's a regular guy. These politicians have nothing between their legs. They'll have a committee
for 20 years
to talk about something, you know?
Speaking of Harvey Weinstein, I tell you what, if he keeps that...
I feel sorry for him.
You feel sorry for Harvey? He's accused of raping 3 people.
Well, I don't feel sorry for him about the rape. But the other ones where they just all jump on the bandwagon and say, Oh, he came at me. The ones that aren't, they're so
what?
Fat and ugly. I wouldn't
Did you hear ugly, the audio tape of him pressuring that woman to go to his hotel suite?
Yes, that was bad. I agree, that was bad.
That was very bad. It was bad. I hope if you did,
me would kick his
if you
ass,
were doing that kind of, if you did that, do right. you, would you want somebody doing that to your daughter, this hairy?
You and I would kick his ass. We might have our sons help us, but we would kick his ass.
Well, he'd be on his back, you know, breathing for air at this point. And your wife, when you gasping for air, not breathing for air, if you were a young person, your wife, then girlfriend, would have kicked you in the groin. And you would have, you know, am I right? I met your wife. She's a very strong and very independent woman. No.
I do as I'm told.
Yes, I understand. Well, keep doing that. And your marriage will last longer than mine did, George.
Happy wife, happy life.
Yes, I understand. And I won't even do my joke, so it's been a long time. But
when's your next big show? When's your next big show? I want to.
I will tell you when we schedule it, because I saw it on Facebook. Right. The last one, Facebook Live, I looked like Orson Welles, so I don't want to do that again.
Oh, you beat yourself up. Too
I know, but I don't want to do it again until I've, you know, look like Don Knotts. Thanks, George. You take
all
care.
Right, buddy.
We're going to continue the conversation on who's winning this. I'm hearing Trump won this, and then there's pushback, but, you know, the NFL thing, and then we'll go on to this incredible woman, J.J. Flazanes, who is this wonderful woman, holistic fitness and weight loss coach. And I'm going to grill her on how it can be done. Grill is probably the wrong verb. Come back with more of The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Mitch Hanks for Atterbury, Cameron, Hague.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How do you differ from those firms that do commercials where they brag about winning a $1 million settlement?
We've all seen the commercials on TV where attorneys are bragging about multi-$1 million settlements. That can be somewhat misleading. Achieving a $1 million settlement doesn't necessarily mean that there was great legal work done. You could have a $2 million case, and you could have a lawyer who settles it prematurely for $1 million. Well, they got a $1 million result, but that doesn't necessarily mean high-quality legal work was done. We get the vast majority of our cases through referrals from former clients and predominantly from other lawyers in the community who send us their clients to ask if we can help them with their personal injury cases.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
We're back live, the Mitch Hanks Show, on Facebook Live at MadisonTalks.com. Curtis Houck, our guest of Newsbusters, taking exception to the media reaction to the Roger Goodell memo that the players in the NFL should stand as talk radio and conservative media will rejoice and say Trump won the war. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, good evening, Mitch.
How's it going?
Penn State's number three in the country.
Penn State. Why does your voice turn to falsetto when you talk about the Penn State football team?
I'm doing pretty good, you know.
You sound like Pee Wee Herman now. All of a sudden.
Then the last time the U.S. didn't make the World Cup, they won the national championship.
There you have it. What is the complaint that the media didn't say, well, Donald Trump showed them. He sure showed them. I mean, they're not going to say that, right, Curtis?
I would definitely, not expect the media to kind of phrase it that way. What my colleagues did at Newsbusters between last night and this morning, they just looked at the coverage. They compared apples to apples. They compared, two news cycles. So the morning and evening newscasts of ABC, CBS, NBC. They came up with a total of 6 minutes and 10 seconds on this possible policy change.
Yeah.
But then they took that same kind of time period, a morning and evening newscast, from the first news cycle after the president's tweets about the NFL, the first weekday news cycle, and they churned out a total of 63 minutes. So often with Newsbusters, our readers and our, conservative influencers can then make the case that the media should say that Trump won, but we're just saying, we're asking for media consistency here. If they're going to make a big deal about one thing,
what was the comparison? So you're comparing it to what again?
The initial tweets, the president, or the initial speech of the president coming out.
That got a lot more coverage.
Yes. Yeah. 6 minutes versus 63 minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just the way it is. They hate Trump, and I mean, Fox probably gave him more time, I would think, right?
Well, I was going to say, I couldn't speak for that, so I'm not going to go out on a limb on the record.
Well, you guys don't watch Fox because they're doing what you want, right? I mean, is that
We absolutely watch Fox
News. Watch Fox.
We record Fox News. We have a whole DVR system that records everything, and we watch Fox just like everyone else.
Let me ask you this. Well, I don't want to
watch everything.
I don't want to get to Harvey Weinstein yet. I want to stick on the NFL. So when they had President Trump, I should say, saying a couple of weeks ago, you must stand, you have to stand for the anthem. Is that like the emperor telling people what to do of the government? Or you obviously, and you're a conservative guy, it sounds like, you don't want government telling private entities or private individuals what to do. Isn't that fair to say?
Well, I think Trump was, speaking as an individual, I think. Again, he is the president of the United States, but he's speaking as an individual. And I think this part about the flag is different. And, you know, and we also had this kind of same thing happen with President Obama. He's offered his thoughts about Colin Kaepernick. It was much lengthier and kind of meandering. Offered his opinions about that. He talked about when Henry Louis Gates was arrested trying to get into his own house. He offered thoughts saying the cop acted was being stupid.
Well, but I got to tell you, on that one, let's take a quick... They found out he did live there. And he
And
then he still took him in.
Well, I'm not talking about what the cops did. I'm just talking about the president chiming in on this.
I understand,
So this notion that the president chiming in on things that are unrelated to, you know, Middle Eastern foreign policy and tax policy is nothing that's out of the ordinary.
Cultural issues, yes, I understand.
Exactly. You know, the president of the United States is
the bully pulpit. He's got the bully pulpit.
Right, of the country. So... You know, again, if he's not saying something, if the president's not saying something about X, you know, people start asking questions.
I understand. Of course, the word bully may be used differently in this particular administration. I don't know. But what is it about him where he always has to have the last word no matter what happens? He can't just defer on things and not chime in with a personal response. Are you guys... upset about, there's kind of a narcissistic element here. It doesn't bother you guys at all because the greater evil is the left.
Well, I think your point talking about having to have the last word, I think that comes from his experience on television.
Yeah.
You know, being able to kind of allow his own words to stand for themselves, which I think is what a lot of people appreciate because, you know, you don't really... I mean, some people can then read into what he says, but there's quotes. You know, it's not like there's radio silence on something that, you know, the president has said nothing about something. So,
well,
words
hey.
Out there. People are able to make their own determination about what's going on, you know, about a given subject.
Well, he's controlling this issue, too, because he didn't just raise it one day and go on. He, you know, he kept it in the news. So, therefore, the NFL changed their position, right? I mean, they lost money. They're losing market share, and they said, "All right, we got to stand." Now they're saying, "I don't know if we you know, now if you've seen they're backing off today, saying, "Well, we didn't say we were going to order them to stand."
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Again, you know, I think it's just a matter of this is the free market work. The people are choosing not to watch. People are choosing to be upset about what's going on here. People are choosing not to tune in. You know, people talk about how great college football is. You know, again, instead of the NFL.
You're just opining for Penn State, but that's quite all right.
I think you know, you make it from a free market perspective. People wake up and there's more games on from beginning to end of the day, and the quality of the play. And I think, and that's what makes that's one of the many reasons why you know you're really not talking about you know that having as many problems as the NFL does. So again, I think you know there's a lot of layers to this here. It's not just the president that his comments are hurting the bottom line. It's his supporters and conservatives and people who may not even like the president who are upset with what the NFL players are doing. It's the same that goes for people who think, you know, they may not like the president and they may think he's a narcissist and they may think he's mentally unstable, but they think the media is biased. You know, you're allowed to, you know, you can believe more than one thing at a time.
There you have it. So no matter what people think in those terms, they compare it to the left, so the quote-unquote left. That's what it, I mean, the Congress approval ratings are down below Trump, obviously, right? I mean, in the teens, in the media.
Right, exactly.
In the media.
And the same goes for the news media, absolutely.
Well, now, why does he do the little Bob Corker? He can't just say Senator Corker. It's little, L-I-D-D-L-E, little Bob Corker.
Napoleon. We study what the media says. We're not really psychologists.
Are you tall, Curtis? Are you a tall man?
No, I'm not.
Well,
I'm 5'8".
So you're of average height then.
Yes.
I mean, who knows? One of these days somebody could say little Curtis Houck. It wouldn't bother you.
You know, again, we're here to talk. I'm here to talk about, you know, that's what we do with the Media Research Center. Again, we allow.
Am I trying to distract you? I'm trying to distract you. It's not going to work. You're going to stay on message.
Well, I'm here, again, you know, I'm a media analyst. I'm not a psychologist.
Yes.
We have there are a number of people who are definitely qualified to talk about
why people
in branding and marketing about why certain names stick and again.
Well, you could play one on the podcast. You can be an amateur. No, actually, seriously though, Donald Trump has had this base and his line of attack on a number of cultural issues where he's sided on the conservative side with the immigration or the flag and so forth. And he's got his solid, rock-solid 30-something percentage. But he never had much more than that any time. I mean, right, he was always in the high 30s in the election. He got to, what, 46 election day because a lot of people came back to him. But he's never, I mean, historically, spent much time above the low 40s or high 30s. Is that fair to say?
No, absolutely. That's definitely fair. Again, this is a game that you play with the Electoral College, and that's how we elect our president. It's about making keys in certain states. That's why with polling, you know, some people may, in our own side, on my side, conservatives may say, oh, the polls were all wrong about the election. Well, the national poll was exactly right in terms of getting that total right that Hillary Clinton would win, but it was just when you break it down, you know, state polls was what was wrong, that people were saying that it was going to be, could be an electoral landslide, but it ended up not being so. So, yeah, again, from, like, the national mood, I think what's really important going forward is looking at where he stands in certain states. And that's why the White House is focusing on his tours in Pennsylvania. He's in my neck of the woods
he's
today.
He's pushing tax reform. But here's the thing. If he loses Corker and he's got problems with Murkowski and Collins and McCain and so forth, he doesn't have a working majority. So nothing gets done. So then you're saying you've got to get more seats in 2018 or you're kind of bust, aren't you?
Well, I that's factually true. And I do think with, you know, John McCain has, you know, obviously a well-documented, relationship. You know, President Trump has, let's just say he said some not so nice things.
Oh, gee, do you think he might be a little mad about saying that Trump likes people who don't get captured?
Right, I will say, me personally, that the idea about health care, that he's pretty much sticking it to Trump, is kind of a little small of him, because the idea of getting rid of Obamacare has been around a long time before, a number of years before Donald Trump was ever on the political scene. But as far as Murkowski and Collins are concerned, I think as far as Republicans being president, you know, that ran last time, unless there was John Kasich was president, I think any of the other candidates that were there at the end, they would have, you know, Rubio or Ted Cruz, if they were in president instead of Trump, I think they would have problems with those two senators as well.
Yeah,
you know, again, you look, they
be.
Had issues getting through cabinet secretaries that those people would have put forward, like Betsy DeVos. Again, they're beholden to their interests and their states. You know, Susan Collins more so.
Well, what about Trump today saying people should look into the media is making stuff up? He was accusing the media of making up the story about him saying we should increase our nuclear arsenal by tenfold. So that's fake. They make stuff up. We should look into that. And then the New York Times today is writing a story about how Trump seems to be threatening that he's going to use the FCC and threaten NBC's license.
Well, I was going to say, there's a couple of things to unpack here. As far as anonymous sources are concerned, you know, not so much the government looking into it, but as far as we news consumers and other news organizations, the use of anonymous sources, it's something that you really don't know. You just have to, like, trust the journalists here about what's going on. You don't know if it's true or not. But as far as the First Amendment is concerned, you know, we at the Media Research Center and the Newsbusters, among my colleagues, we are definitely believers in the First Amendment. That's why we're trying to inform people that the media is liberal. We're not looking to, torch them. We're just trying to we are trying to inform the public about their choices as far as news, being a responsible news consumer, that when you turn on a certain channel, that there's going to be an agenda here that's huge.
Let me ask you this, though. The criticism from the conservative media on the Weinstein case is that the late-night comics are quiet, it took a long time for Obama and Clinton to come out against him, yada, yada, and now they're all coming out, and it's like an avalanche. But when the things were going down against Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly, I didn't hear Hannity trashing them. I mean, I didn't hear Rush trashing Roger Ailes or Bill O'Reilly. But yet, conservatives are angry if the liberal media people don't trash Harvey.
Okay, so there's a couple, again, there's a couple of things to unpack here. First, yes, again, that is a fair criticism that when sexual assault cases are against your side, that it's a lot more uncomfortable of a situation. However, for this Weinstein case, we're talking about Weinstein, and he is a Democratic donor. So the fact, you know, again, this doesn't, because people who commit sexual misconduct can be found across the political spectrum does
right,
not absolve
right.
that does not absolve
no I understand
the Democrats
that Colbert and Colbert
here.
You're right, Colbert, Kimmel, and Fallon will hit Roger Ailes and O'Reilly harder, but by the same token Hannity and Rush are going to hit Weinstein harder. Isn't that the way it is?
Well, again, yeah, this goes back to this. Weinstein connects to the Clintons. Again, this is, you know, the level of sexual enabling and the vast right-wing conspiracy. You look at Harvey Weinstein's delusional statement that came out last week.
Well,
that
he was,
you know,
a child,
about
a product of the
60s. The NRA and,
I see. I thought you were going to talk about his 60s, 70s Mad Men comment.
Well, all of that, you know, that whole statement was one for the, you know, the Hall of Shame for the ages. In terms of defense, talking about his Jewish upbringing and his mother and there were just so many things.
As a rationalization for sexual harassment? I don't get that.
It was just a whole compilation here that... it was just so disturbing. But again,
that would be talking with your hands, not other things. But go ahead. Sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. That's so true. But yeah, no, I think it's important to note that you know, the Clintons took in so much money, and Hillary Clinton back in the 90s talked about this vast right wing conspiracy and that these charges will not
no,
be proven true.
No, that's all true. But you know, I guess my point is. Republicans have benefited from Roger Ailes' network time and Sean Hannity time, you know, by the boatload for years. All I'm saying is, whether it's Ben Affleck or Matt Damon, they should condemn Harvey along with everybody else right away. And Roger, and if the investigation finds that Bill O'Reilly was touching himself when he talked to one of his female friends on the phone, and that's part of the investigation, maybe we should mention that and not say, as I've heard said on Rush's show, that he was taken down by the liberal media. I mean, I got to believe Fox had some goods on O'Reilly. It wouldn't be gone. His ratings are pretty good.
Well, right? I will definitely say, though, that when the Ailes and O'Reilly allegations came out, CNN and Brian Stelter were licking their chops.
Well, I know it, of course. That's my point.
And I think it was just obsessive coverage, I think.
But you want heavy coverage now of Harvey, though. And I do, too. It's kind of fun. Especially the audio of telling that actress to go to his room.
Again, there's a responsible media debate to be had here, because you look at what's alleged about what happened at NBC News, that Ronan Farrow had that audio and he had a woman on camera in January, and that NBC basically decided to punt on this because, I don't know, they said it was unpublishable or they were afraid of lawsuits. But again, I think that's just so
No, fair point. You're right. That is weak. By the way, I think Ronan Sinatra's illegitimate son, don't you think? I think it's pretty close, fair to say, with a shot of the photo. I mean,
now, I was going to say, I joined Newsbusters when he had his own show, so I watched him every day, so I would probably agree with
that. He looks like Sinatra, the whole hairline thing. I mean, the blue eyes, come on.
The voice, not so much, but what are you going to do?
No, definitely not. Well, you know, I enjoy the banter. We appreciate the time. Curtis Houck, who went to Penn State at some point, and Nittany Lions, who do have some tough games coming, I should point out. Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State. Don't you know they got Murderer's Row ahead of them?
Oh, we're buckled up and ready to go. That's why it's a good time. Bye weeks. Bye weeks are great.
Oh, that's right. They're off. So newsbusters.org. But do me a favor, before you come back next time, try to find that show of Hannity or Rush trashing Roger Ailes. I want to hear that tape.
All right, take care, Mitch.
All right, thanks a lot. Got kind of quiet. See, I do that. I can't help it. And I know you on Facebook, you want me to just smash whatever side you want me to smash, but come on. James Woods, who's been blacklisted from Hollywood because he's turned into a conservative. in one of the famous parts, he said, everybody's guilty. This is The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do? Maybe you got a birthday coming up. You want to get the family together? Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. We book the best comics from Late Night, from Conan O'Brien, from Comedy Central.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim sold our new construction house in a matter of hours. And on top of that, we sold it above the asking price. That's a great testament to him. He priced it perfectly and talked about its features to a T.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
This is Kirk Dobinspeck, Badger Hockey alum. I highly recommend Tim Rail.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to The Mitch Hanks Show.
Those are the beautiful vibes of one Jonathan Little on that announcement. But does he have a voice? Hey, he's got a great voice, man. Wonderful man, by the way. Filled with integrity. I'm just filled with carbs over the years. No, we're going to talk to J.J. Flazanes, and you can't miss this after 6. She is absolutely... And I'm not sexist if I say, because it's true. She's spectacularly gorgeous, but she's holistic fitness and weight loss coach, empowerment, the whole thing, strategist, author, the Fit to Love podcast. She's trying to transform us with weight loss and fitness and spiritual health and all the things I need. I'm going to find out from her what's how to do that, how to start after 6. Meantime, though, a footnote on this NFL thing and the white and black divide to a large extent in this country. Mike Ditka was on a radio show recently and talked about how he doesn't know why they're protesting, and here's what he said.
I don't know what social injustices have been. Muhammad Ali rose to the top. Jesse Owens is one of the classiest individuals that ever lived. I mean, you can say, are you talking everything is based on color? I don't see it. I don't see it that way. But all of a sudden, it's become a big deal now about oppression. There has been no oppression in the last 100 years that I know of. Now, maybe I'm not watching it as carefully as other people. I think the opportunity is there for everybody. I don't think burning the flag, I don't think protesting the country. It's not about the country. Right now, a lot of this is going on. They're protesting maybe an individual. That's wrong, too.
My Ditka, with a positive message, but he did say there's been no oppression in 100 years, and I it kind of feeds the beast, don't you think, a little bit, since we didn't have public accommodation until 1964, the Voting Rights Act in 1965, Jim Crow laws. But again, Mike's not a historian. He's being positive. But that could be one of the reasons why there's division in the country. We'll come back. I want to talk to J.J. Flazane's man. She's going to set us all straight. If you're skinny, maybe she'll help you gain weight. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.